But she's doing really good. Oh, okay, good.
Very similar bookshelf at home that I got from the firm. at least 100 years old, probably not.
Yeah,
it's got one more box on it.
What's
it? One higher than that.
It's like a war bond.
Right under his grass, kind of.
Yeah.
Some of that.
Maybe it's a war bond.
It's almost identical.
It's, I mean, the finish is fine, it's just the mechanical pieces, you know. I think out of mine's 96 boxes like that. And I think half of them would work and half of them don't. So I can't read those books. I just leave them open. But it'd be nice if all of them worked. Sometimes right is one work, sometimes right is five.
Yeah.
So two work and three don't work.
Now, I don't know if he does bookcases or furniture with third parties, but Devin Peterson's younger son is a heck of a carpenter and builds tables. He might tag you something like that. And he's just a great guy.
Good morning. Welcome to Kearney. On behalf of the Nebraska Court of Appeals and the Nebraska State Patrol, I'd like to welcome you to the Buffalo County office here. This room is now a courtroom, okay? And what that essentially means is we have to follow courtroom rules. Cell phones, make sure they're on silent. The use of cell phones will not be is prohibited during the course hearings. There's no photography during this, and also please no talking. During each one, there's three cases this morning. While the case is ongoing, the door will remain shut. If you need to use the restroom, please wait for the breaks in between the courts, between the cases and that type of stuff. So. My name is Mike Grummert. I'm a captain with the Nebraska State Patrol with the Capitol Security Division. My job is to make sure that not only the court is safe, but also that everybody inside this room is safe. So, welcome, and we can flip the board. So, thank you.
Yeah, very shortly. All rise. Is now in session. May all who come here be heard. May truth and justice be served by what we do here.
Thank you. Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to the Kearney panel of the November Court of Appeals call. We're pleased to be in Greater Nebraska and we're appreciative of the county to allow us to use these facilities. My name is Frankie Moore and I'm from North Platte. And I'm pleased to be joined on my left by our Chief Judge, Mike Pirtle from Omaha, and on my right, Dave Arteburn from Papillion. And before we start this morning, I'd like to welcome Professor Rowley and his KLOP students from UNK. They're those that are interested in going into the law, and so we've invited them to be here with us today, and we typically stick around for a while and answer questions and talk with them. So pleased to have you again this morning. As you'll note, we don't have a podium here, but if you and counsel are welcome to remain seated at your counsel table for your arguments, if that's okay with you, whatever you prefer. With that, we'll get started. We have three cases on the call this morning. The first one is Ronfeld Farms versus Frost.
I had a makeshift podium.
That's fine.
So I'm used to podium. So, Chief Judge Pirtle, Judge Moore, and Judge Arterburn, may it please the court, my counsel, Steve Austin from Madison Ricketts Law Firm, for Ronfeld Farms, the plaintiff in the underlying case, the appellant in this case. This case involves the negligence by a manure pumper, Brian Frost, and his company, Frosty's Dragline, at a Ronfeld sow unit, which Mr. Frost admits that he knew it had the highest, absolute highest biosecurity protocols. Frost violated those biosecurity protocols by pumping manure at the sow farm after just coming from pumping other hog barns. Frost and his crew joined fellow defendants, Jason Arp and Knee Deep LLC, a very creative name, manure pumping crew at the Ronfeld sow farm known as Windy Hill in the fall of 2020. We believe the evidence for the district court clearly showed that on the causation factor, one of the factors of negligence, Frost was the proximate cause of the introduction of porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome virus, or PERS, into Windy Hill.
Did the district court even reach the causation issue?
It did not, Your Honor.
Can we reach the causation issue?
No need to for purposes of this appeal. This occurred almost immediately after the pits at the sow farm were pumped onto the Ronfeld Farms crop ground. The district court in this case clearly erred by finding essentially that Frost owed no duty to Ronfeld Farms, despite what we think are very disputed material facts that showed Frost was at a minimum a joint venture with ARP, the ARP defendants in this case.
Was a joint venture originally pled in this case?
It was not pled in this case, but the district court in the motion or in the order on summary judgment considered that. Nebraska is a notice pleading case, one. Two, we also had pending before the district court at the same time as motion for summary judgment hearing, a motion to reform the pleadings to with the evidence. And he considered that, and most of his orders about whether there's a joint venture or not. We believe that the grant of summary judgment must be reversed, and we believe most critically for review of this matter under the appellate standard, summary judgment standard, is the fact that the district court never once articulated the relationship between defendants ARP and Frost.
Is that necessary?
We believe it's absolutely necessary, Your Honor. We don't believe that he could the district court could determine that no duty was owed by Frost to Ronfeld without articulating clearly what the relationship between the ARP defendants and the Frost defendants actually was.
So you believe the duty is a prerequisite to, or the relationship, I'm sorry, is a prerequisite to finding a duty?
Absolutely, Judge Barber, that's okay. So without ever identifying that relationship, I mean, the district court said that he did not believe that it was a joint venture. So what was it? There had to be some underlying relationship between the two parties articulated. And again, most of the disputed material facts are in the nature of that relationship.
Did you provide an alternative relationship?
We provided the relationship of joint venture, which we think is clear based upon a number of factors, Your Honor. One factor that...
So you're saying the district court has to go beyond the pleadings, or at least what was accepted as pleadings, to find a relationship?
Well, and the district court did that in the order. It just did not find that it was a joint venture, but
you're saying that he needed to go beyond that and decide what was the relationship, and you're saying he didn't do that.
We do believe the district court.
So you're saying the district court is obligated to go beyond what the pleadings or the operative or a situation like we have here where it's not in the pleadings but it's considered, the district court's still obligated to go beyond what's been argued and pled.
Well, the district court did go beyond and was trying to determine the relationship, and we think that the failure to say this is what the relationship was between the ARP defendants
and the Frost defendants.
Okay, so it went beyond them. What did the district court determine was the relationship?
The district court didn't determine anything.
Okay, well, you're telling me both ways. You're telling me there is a relationship or there's not a relationship.
Very good question. The district court determined that, in the district court's opinion, it was not a joint venture, but then it did not go on and say what the relationship was. So one of the interesting...
So whose duty was it to prove what the relationship was? Wasn't it your duty to prove that?
Well, we're here under summary judgment, so we believe the facts are very much in dispute on that. For one thing, you have before you the Frost defendants were plaintiffs in a case in Burke County District Court, and they were denied coverage for this very incident. And in the District Court of Burke County, the Frost defendants pled that they were not a subcontractor of the ARP defendants in the circumstances that bring us here. And so they've pled that. And importantly, I think when you get to the duty, is there are really a couple of factors that we think are very important when you look at Frost's duty. One of them is that Ryan Frost admitted in his deposition that Ronfelt Farm should have been informed that Frost had pumped other hog barns. And we believe that acknowledged some duties on by Brian Frost himself. And just as importantly, if you go to the answers filed by both Brian Frost individually and Frosty's Dragline entity, in the answers to the complaint in this case, they both admit that they had a, quote, general duty to exercise reasonable care. So the Frost admissions about duties are really hard to square with the district court, you know, very presumptively, and my opinion, finding that there was just no duty at all owed to him. So
I'm going to go back to my previous question, because I'm not sure I completely understand your response. If we were to agree with the district court that there's no joint venture here and summary judgment was appropriate on that, could we not still find that there was a disputed fact with regard to Frost's negligence?
You absolutely could, yes. Okay. Yeah. But we do believe that the facts indicate that there was a joint venture here. That is very much a question of fact. Again, I don't think should be decided in a summary judgment proceeding where there are very much disputed facts. In our brief, the district court seemed to claim that there were undisputed facts that our brief points out at the very beginning were very much disputed by the evidence in this case. With respect to a joint venture, there are four elements from the Coho versus Bennett construction case. Two or more persons contribute cash, labor, or property to a common fund. Two, with the intent of entering into some business or transaction. Three, for the purpose of making a profit to be shared in proportion to respective contributions. And four, each of the parties have an equal voice in the manner of its performance and control of the agency's use therein.
Isn't that fourth one really where the issue lies in this case as to whether Frost had an equal voice? What was the evidence that would indicate that Frost had an equal voice?
Well, I think the strongest evidence, Judge Arterburn, is that after the PERS outbreak, we knew which barns had been pumped by the Frost defendants before they came to the Ronfelt Farms sow barn. And there was a pretty desperate attempt to go to those two facilities in Colfax County and actually do testing on site. And the evidence is clear that it was Brian Frost that was approaching those two, the owners of those facilities, and Brian Frost that ultimately decided that he didn't want to participate in the genetic testing that could have been done on the manure from those sites. So, and once the testimony is, even though they basically share jobs, importantly for purposes of the profit or loss, Brian Frost said, "Hey, I didn't get paid because I understand Ronfeld didn't ever pay the ARP defendants." So we think that shows that they were sharing profit. I'm going to save the rest of my minute and 13 for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mr. Mossman, Joel Nelson on behalf of Frosty's Dragline and its owner, Brian Frost, who it is undisputed, was completely honest and was completely upfront when asked if he could come to help at Windy Hill, that his crew was currently at a swine finishing barn. There is no dispute in the record that Mr. Frost made Jason Arp of Knee Deep aware that he was at a swine finishing barn. It's also undisputed no one with Ronfeld ever communicated anything to Mr. Frost of Frosty's Dragline.
Do you know whether at that point that that fact, if you will, had been communicated to Ronfeld before Frosty showed up and started working?
Your Honor, I think the record is clear that Ronfeld was not aware through ARP that Frosty's had been in the swine finishing barn. Right. The district court made a couple of statements in the order that I think go most to the court's questions of Mr. Mosmer. First of all, Judge Meismer said, Frosty's was at Windy Hill to lend a hand, not have a voice in the transaction. That goes to this joint venture theory. And then I'll just read what Judge Meismer said. He didn't say no duty at all for Frosty's. He said Frost clearly had a duty to ARP to meet those expectations. In other words, the expectations that ARP relayed to Frost about what Ronfeld required. But it is not reasonable to expect Frost to go beyond ARP and coordinate directly with the plaintiff. Therefore, it is not reasonable to carry Frost's duty to ARP beyond ARP and to the plaintiff. On the joint,
is it necessary for there to be a relationship, whether it be subcontractor or joint venture, to go ahead and find negligence or a duty on your client's part?
No, Your Honor. And there are cases that we cite in our brief, the Dunn case, the Frisch case, the Lackman versus Roussel case, the Pioneer Animal Clinic case, where the court can say, as a matter of law, this is not a joint venture. Or I think in the Pioneer Animal Clinic case, clearly it was not a joint venture, without defining what the relationship was. So it was not incumbent on Judge Meismer to say, I am going to label this relationship. When he says lend a hand, not have a voice, we think that the most reasonable label, if the court thinks it necessary to put a label on the relationship, is principal agent. Knee Deep and ARP as principal, Frost and Frosty's as agent for the limited purpose of going to Windy Hill. And an agent owes a duty of loyalty, a fiduciary duty to its principal. And so Frosty's had to follow Knee Deep's directions about what Ronfeld expected. And granted, that information was probably flawed. Jason ARP and Knee Deep probably did not accurately convey to Frost and Frosty's what Ronfeld really wanted, which was you don't come to our barn unless you're coming from a cattle facility. But that's on ARP and Knee Deep, and they have been dismissed from the case with prejudice one day after our summary judgment hearing. And one of the issues that we raised in our brief is if Ronfeld's correct that this is a joint venture, there's now basically an adjudication on the merits that one alleged joint venturer, Knee Deep, has no liability, effectively a release. And a joint venture makes both venturers principal and agent. And there's case law that says if you release a principal, you also release the agent. If you release the agent, you also release the principal. If this was a joint venture, the dismissal with prejudice of Knee Deep and ARP, we submit, means there is no claim against our clients for that reason as well. As to duty, Judge Meismer said, we did have a duty as the party lending a hand at Knee Deep's request to follow those directions. We did. That's undisputed. We cleaned, disinfected, we dried our equipment, we were down the amount of time we were directed to be down by Jason Arp. Did we have the general duty to exercise reasonable care in the mechanics of our business? Sure, we've never disputed that. We admitted that in our answer. So if Frosty's Dragline had backed a tractor into one of the buildings at Windy Hill and caused a breach there, that's obviously a breach of that general duty to exercise reasonable care. There's no evidence that we breached a duty in the logistics and mechanics of the manure pump. The guys from Ronfo, Mr. Stutzman, Mr. Christensen, testified in their deposition, no, we had no complaints about how Knee-Deep and Frosty's did the pumping. What Ronfo's really asking is that this court impose another duty. A duty that Frosty's, what do you want to call them, agent or subcontractor or party lending a hand to this other company, not rely on the directions from its principal or its general contractor, but instead go around the general contractor or the principal to the ultimate customer. And we respectfully submit that would be a terrible precedent to set.
Was there a duty here to properly clean equipment before coming to the facility on your client's part?
Yes, Your Honor. And there are exhibits in the record. University of Nebraska Extension, the Farm Journal Pork publication. There are directions to Ronfeld from DNA Genetics, the genetics supplier in which Ronfeld was a component part of the system, on manure management. Clean, disinfect. Producer needs to inspect the manure pumper's equipment when they come on site.
But does that all become a material issue of fact?
No, Your Honor, because there is no fact in the record suggesting we did not clean, disinfect, and dry according to the directions given us. In other words, there's no evidence from an expert saying, here's the thing everybody knows you have to do, and Frosty's Dragline did not do that. And Ronfeld, I think, in its complaint, and then in the testimony of co-owner Tavis Christensen, has been pretty honest about what they really think the breach was. They think the breach was that the pumpers collectively didn't follow Ronfeld's standard. In other words, Mr. Christensen said, look, I have two rules. You come to Windy Hill, a high biosecurity sow farm, only from a cattle site. And to quote him, you stay the hell out of my barns. Cleaning, disinfecting, drying doesn't matter if you come from a cattle facility. There's no evidence in the record that you must be only a cattle facility before a sow barn as a general industry standard. There's nothing in the University of Nebraska materials. There's nothing in DNA genetics materials. There's nothing in the Farm Journal materials that says that's a rule. And so the record is devoid of anything that would make Ronfeld's standard a general industry standard. And to require, again, someone in the position of Frost and Frosties to not trust the directions given it by its principal or its general contractor would be like saying that you hand off the blueprints to your new house to a general contractor. But then every sub, the gutter sub, the roofing sub, the plumbing sub, the concrete sub, has to call you to say, here's what the general told us, but we're not sure he's right. We need to hear from you, Nelson, exactly what you want in your house. That's not how the world works. But that's the kind of burden that Ronfeld's request to this court would impose on a contractor like Frosty's Dragline, or any subcontractor, or any company that's asked to come in and lend a hand. And the circumstances of this are important as well. A narrow window of time, about 3 years ago exactly, harvest is getting done. The ground has not yet frozen hard. You've got to get this done. There's time pressure for Mr. Christensen of Ronfeld to get this done. ARP can't do it. He has one of his crews somewhere else. He asked us to come in and help. We are completely honest with Mr. Arp about where we are. We think Judge Meisner correctly found that we fulfilled any duty we had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
How much time does Mr. Mossman have remaining?
10 seconds.
So I thought it was very interesting for my good friend Mr. Nelson to refer to his client as a subcontractor of the Arp defendant, since they specifically denied that and the coverage claim in Burke County. But I think there's really, to the question that Judge Moore asked about, is there negligence? Can you find negligence independent of the relationship between the two parties? And I really think that you can in this case, Your Honor. If you look again to Brian Frost's admissions that he knew that a sow farm had the highest possible biosecurity protocols in the industry. And with respect to the cleaning equipment, the outside of the equipment was clean, but the evidence in the record is that the hoses themselves weren't clean.
So could you respond to the argument that there was no evidence of a general industry standard regarding coming from a cattle barn to a sow facility?
I don't know that was any specific evidence of that, but again, we're talking about a hyper security protocol that Mr. Frost was aware of. So he had two options when he was approached by the armed defendants in this case, and I see that my time. So
thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate your appearance here today. Your case is submitted, and you are.